in the first reading we hear the letter, it's blue. Theophilus means lover of God. That's what that means, Theophilus. And so what Luke is writing to us, lovers of God, and he's saying, I want to tell you this important bit of information, that this Jesus who came, who, and in many ways, who became for us the embodiment of the God, Yahweh, who we love, he rose up 40 days. For 40 days he went and he appeared several times to his disciples. And each time he appeared to them, he announced peace. That's what he said, peace, right? That was the very first thing that he said. And then he says, and then on the 40th day, in their midst, he was raised up. Now, I'm smiling a little bit because the two angels at the resurrection had to tell Mary, in a sense, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead, right? Why are you looking for the dead amongst the living? But the angels and again announced the resurrection. So here are the disciples. The apostles, and they're standing looking up. They're like, what happened? Right? Like, what happened? Where did he go? Can you imagine? I mean, the historic, there's a secular attestation to this. So historically, they're looking up, and these two men dressed in white, if it isn't bad enough that the person who you love died and rose again, and then appeared to you in your midst several times, so you kind of got used to that, right? And then all of a sudden, 40 days later, they're standing there, and he goes, he's raised in a cloud. And they're standing there, right? And these angels have to come and ask the important question again. Why are you seeking here? Why are you standing here looking up? I don't know if I was one of the apostles, what I would have said if somebody asked me that. Because I would say, did you see just what just happened? Like, where did you go? Where did you go? So I think that that's what happens for us sometimes. We stand in the midst of our lives, right? And we say, where did you go? Where did you go? And then someone comes and says, why are you standing here, right? Why are you standing here? Someone comes as an angel meeting. Someone comes with a word of blessing or a word of God, and we're reoriented then to the reality of our relationship to God in this world. What a powerful message that is. The apostles, after they heard this and saw this, actually in the Gospel of Luke it says they were forever in the temple. And so they went to the temple. The temple was a gathering place. It was a place where not only the chief sacrifice of the people of Israel was offered, but it was also a place where they studied the Torah and where they met. And each different rabbi had different maybe sections of the temple where they would meet and talk. And so it was a safe place for the people, for the apostles. They didn't know where to go. So what did they do? They went home. They went where it was comfortable, right? I think that's what happens to us when we don't know where to go. We come home. We find places like this that are home for us, right? And we're comfortable here. And no one can shake us from here, right? No one can tell us we don't belong here, right? Because there's something in our hearts that knows that this is where God is for us. And this becomes home for us. And so I think that's what happens. The apostles went and they went someplace where it was safe for them. The second reading that we have, I think, really does speak quite eloquently about how from the moment that maybe God appeared to the apostles, or from the very moment of the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, how all of this was kind of foretold in one way or the other. But the thing that I think that we hear in the second reading most profoundly is that there isn't anything that can separate us from the love of God. Right? Not even the fact that Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. Because what is going to happen is he's going to send the paraclete. He's going to send the advocate to be with us. And so that he will not leave us orphaned. I think that's a profound message. I think this particular feast of the Ascension is really our feast. I think it is for us, the people who have believed in Jesus because of all of the people who went before us. In the last chapter in the 14th chapter of John, which sometimes that gospel is read in different years, actually Jesus prays for us. He prays for me and you. And he says, Father, for those who will come after me and believe in me because of what the apostles preached. And that's us, right? That's us. Jesus prayed for us. He, in the mind of God, we have existed. We didn't exist before time as Jesus did. But from the moment of our conception, we have been in the mind of this loving God. And so Jesus, aware of what he was about to do in terms of of conquering death once and for all. That's what this Feast of the Ascension celebrates for us, is the final conquering of death. He prayed for us, and he prayed for us that we might believe in him. In this Gospel of Luke, we hear that Jesus came to preach the repentance for all sin. That's what Jesus came to preach, right? His very life was the greatest act of repentance for all of our sins. There's a wonderful theological concept from Meister Eckhart that God does not even hold the memory of our sins. And so because of that act on Calvary, once and for all of our sins were nailed to the cross. Our job now, and the message of the Ascension, is to live as if we're forgiven people. It really is to live as if the resurrected Christ lives in us. We can no longer be defined by our sins. We can no longer be defined by our shortcomings. We no longer have the ability to say, I'm not worthy, or poor me. Because the reality is that because of that act on Calvary, all of our sins were nailed to the cross. And so God doesn't hold the memory of our sins. We do sometimes, because it sometimes gives meaning to our life, right? Sometimes we hold on to anger because that might define a relationship that we have, right? Sometimes we are afraid to forgive because what would it mean if I forgave, right? And what would that mean? Maybe it means I wouldn't have anything more to hold over your head, right? And so this idea that because of the Feast of the Ascension, we have to really realize that all of those things that bind us down on this feast raise up with Christ. We give them all to Christ, right? All of those things which before have maybe defined us in diminished us and not letting us be able to become the people that God truly called us to be, we can let them on this feast of ascend with Christ. They are no more for us. We have to let them go. We have to. Because if not, Christ can't give us the new spirit that he intends for us. St. Augustine says that we swim in grace. We actually swim in grace. And that our hands are so tightly grasped that we can't receive the grace that God has intended for us. And so that if we really trusted and believed in the message of the resurrection, we would relax our hands and the graces that were intended for us would come to us. That's what we celebrate on the Feast of the Ascension. That in the fullness of time, right, God sent his only Son to be one of us. And when the time became fulfilled, he brought me back into his embrace. And because of that, 10 days later, we receive the new spirit that God had intended for us. And the part of that in this, Jesus says, stay in this city until you receive the fullness of the power. Stay here. Because from this city, will go out the new earth. That's why the church is the new Jerusalem. That's why we're told here and now in 2010 is that the word has to go out from here. We can't hold on to it. It has to be spread out from here. In year A, we go and baptize all nations, right? That's the message of the Ascension. It's don't hold on to me. No tangere. Don't hold me. Don't cling to me, Jesus said. And so when he arises today, all of our sins and all of our shortcomings, let that rise up with him. We need to really believe that because of his love for us, that once and for all, no memory of the sin is even in the memory of God. It says in Proverbs, that God's mercies are brand new for us every morning, right? And so that's what this message of the Ascension is, that if we move and live in this, if we allow ourselves to be transformed by God's love, then we don't have to be bound down by these thoughts of ourselves or these sins about ourselves. Many of you know that on Thursdays I go down to the county jail, and I spend Thursday mornings there, and sometimes I hear confessions, and sometimes I just visit with people, depending on what their needs are. And I was thinking about how the fullness of time God comes to us. And I was thinking when I spent time with these men and women down there, I talked to them about how God gives us time as a season. We tend to always see chronos time as 24-hour increments. But kairos time, the time that we move in Christ, is called kairos time. And so and it's a liminal time. The message of the Ascension is the already but not yet. That we are here and we're living in the kingdom, but the fullness of it isn't here yet. In theology, we call that liminal spaces. It's liminal spaces. It's where the boundaries of this world are pushed a little bit and they begin to meld. And so that's why I like Mass in the evening sometimes. It shifts our perspective, right? It gives us our day is over and we come and relax in the arms of God. It's a liminal time for us. It's the already but not yet. It's twilight. It's not yet light and it's not yet dark. And so God gives us this time to move with Him and to grow with Him. And today I was down at the jail and I was talking to some people and I usually try to give them a message of hope. I try to say, listen, this isn't forever, that this will change, that all things pass, and that many of the great saints spent time in jail. St. Paul did most of his important writing of the epistles while he was in jail. And that use this time maybe to let God, move in your heart and change you and be transformed by the love of God. I think it's so interesting. They say that there's no atheists in foxholes. I also think that there's no atheists in jail, quite honestly. I've never seen such enthusiasm for people who want to come to a particular service. I mean, sometimes in this sense of time. But I met with this gentleman today, and he's at the protective custody unit, and I said, how long have you been here? And he said, 5 years. And I thought about that. I thought, 5 years, my goodness, 5 years. And I said, what brings you here? And he said, they said that I killed my sister and all her children. But I don't think I did that. And I thought to myself, on this Feast of the Ascension, we talked about this a little bit, on this Feast of the Ascension, is that his time there is protracted because there's not enough kind of physical evidence to move one or the other. I don't know exactly why. But in that particular moment, as we talked about this, and I was trying to say to him that this will change, this will all be different, I don't think that he believes me. After 5 years, I don't know that I would believe that either, right? So sometimes I think that when we have nothing left to say to somebody, all we can do is experience the love of God that exists between us. And we started to talk about that a little bit. We started to talk about how on this Feast of the Ascension, if we let all of those, that maybe our sadness, our disappointments, all of that rise with Christ, then maybe we can get a new spirit. Maybe something different can move in our lives. Not necessarily a hope of being released tomorrow, though I think you would like that to happen, right? But the reality is that isn't going to happen. So all we can do is do what Jesus said in this gospel when he met with the disciples. Preach the message of repentance. Because in the message of repentance is the greatest message of God's love for us. And so that's what we do. We talked about God's love, and I think that maybe he was comforted a bit. I felt a little inadequate in terms of offering some degree of comfort. But in the end, I think what he was able to say about his experience of the knowledge of God really did reflect for me some of the important messages of this feast, right? That as we come together to celebrate this, if we can trust that God may have something in store for us that we're unaware of and open our hands to receive the grace, then all this can rise with him. So as we move forward, let's try and remember that, right? That the Feast of the Ascension is that we are to preach the message of the repentance of sins, but at the heart of that always is the loving acceptance of God just as we are, right? And then the challenge to grow into what he has desired us to do. So let's continue then in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.